Let me ask you a couple things so we can put the notes together. Can you tell me some of the things you did before you came to work for Art?
I only did one recording session before I started with Art Rubin.
Yeah.
I did a thing called 2 Years of Torture. That was my first record.
That was?
Uh-huh. 2 Years of Torture and Half Wolf. Oh. And that was in 49 for Supreme. Supreme was owned by a cat named Pat. Pat Patrick. He used to own Supreme Records. He had Jimmy Witherspoon on the label, and a girl named Paula Watson.
Yeah.
And so I recorded 2 Years of Torture for him. He released it, and it went bankrupt. Mm. And he sold that master to John Dalton, Dalton Hollywood.
Yeah.
And then I came on that police cat here, our group, and did Please Send Me Someone to Love, Strange Things Happening.
I couldn't say anything.
Live and Suicide, Baby Please, on my first session.
Oh.
And that was it. But I never really tried show business. I just only wanted to write.
So you were already, when did you come to the West Coast?
Ooh, I've been here since 41.
41?
Yeah, I was a boy here. Huh. You know, when I was in my younger years.
So, were you out here before you started singing?
Right, before I started singing professionally. I've been singing all my life,
What made you decide you wanted to be a singer?
I didn't. It was forced on me. So I just only wanted to write.
Oh.
See, but every time I take my songs to a recording company to present them, you know what I mean, to audition for other artists, the company would accept them only if I would sing them. See, I could have started in 47, but I refused because I didn't want to sing, see. I just wanted to write. But in 49, I was a talent director of the Almazar Talent Club. And in the club, we had singers, writers,
you
and dancers.
You were the talent director?
Right. Oh. See? And so when I take their tunes along with mine to present to company, and the cat accepted two other tunes and my tune. But he wanted me to sing them.
Uh-huh.
So I couldn't very well refuse then in the presence of these kids that I'd been training. You know what I mean? So I accepted, and I went in on it and cut that, and that's where it started. See?
So you'd sing them to demonstrate them?
That's all I was singing them for. But the cats would accept them only if I would record for them. Because they wanted my style, you know. And I refused from 47. Oh, yeah, 47 to 49. And then after I was talent director and I had these other kids with me trying to present their stuff, I couldn't very well refuse and let them people down. So I accepted to do things in order to cut.
Who were you the talent director for?
Huh?
What?
Well, we had a club called the Al-Muzat Talent Club.
Oh.
And the club had songwriters.
It's like a club where you go in and see people?
No. It's just a regular amount of singers and writers and dancers and things formed. And they called it Al Muzaz, you know, Allied Music, you know, like that.
Albums, art?
No, we were just creative, and we were trying to perfect ourselves. There ain't nothing in the club but artists.
Mm.
You know, a few musicians, dancers, songwriters, and whatnot. And the time I got in the club, they voted me talent director unanimously. I just know how to write, you know.
I got to get the name of this club exactly right.
Al Muzaz, Z-I-T. Al-Muzat.
Okay.
I forget what it represents. See what I mean? It's Allied Music something. I don't know what that other one said. Anyway, unit or something. Anyway, we called it for short Al-Muzat. And they put me in front right away. And I was helping the kids learn how to bridge this stuff off when they're writing. You know, something that's not permissible in music, you see. And I was teaching them how to, any first lines of my songs. The first three verses, the first verse, the second verse, and omit the challenge. And then the third verse. All top lines have the same amount of words in them.
Mm.
Well, that's perfection. I strive for perfection. Yeah. Now you can count them. Like, Herr von please send to all mankind. That's 8. Mm. All right, look at the first line on the second verse. Show the world how to get along.
Right.
That's 8. Yeah. That's, so it'd be easier for the style to be set.
Mm-hmm.
You dig? So I was training those kids like that. Now that's a job.
Were there some of those other kids that became well known later on?
Well, let's see. There's one girl that's in our club. She's got to be real popular, got to be singing. And I forget her name. It's been a long time ago. This is in the 40s, man. And she went places. For a while, I don't know what happened to her. I don't know anything more from her. But all the rest of them just drifted and drifted down, you know. But But I kept right on going. I said, now, one girl, now, it was a Mexican girl, and her brother was in the health club, Artie Bravo. And she did a tune. She wrote a tune called How Wrong Can a Good Man Be? And I cut that along for Pat. It was released. But John Dolphin bought 2 years of torture. And he pushed it to the top. And that made me number one around the coast. He didn't have international distribution. See, he had them like from San Diego back in Frisco. You understand? And so, but he had a radio thing in his window, you know. And Ray Robinson was his disc jockey. And I think he still have a program in his window. Anyway, he was crazy about the tune himself, and he pushed it. And after it got to be so hot here on the coast, and I come in, this cat here. See, now he sent for me to talk with me. And boom, I went to him, and I got Pete Simmons One Love. He said it all over the world, see. That's why most of the people out across country think that Pete Simmons One Love was my first one. Because 2 years of torture didn't get nowhere until after Ray Charles got it. It just got big on the West Coast.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever sing in public in a club or anything before you made your first record?
No. Not the kind of singing I'm doing now.
Oh.
You see, when I was a youngster, I was in with a choir, you know.
Sang church?
Yeah, see. And we used to make appearances like that for the church, like they have competition, you know, or like I say, a convention, a choir convention. And maybe it might be 10 or 12 churches, choirs meeting there, you see. And like that, I've done that, you know. And I used to sing in school and crap like that, but I never cared anything about it. But my teachers and things knew more about what I should be doing than I did. I just did it because I was told to.
What was the name of the church you were in the choir?
Well, I tell you, it's a funny thing. Now, I'm a Methodist,
but
I belong to a Baptist choir. Mm-hmm. You understand? So this was called St. James. See, my church was St. Matthew. And our church was so small, they didn't have a choir. But across the road, about a mile, this is in the country.
Is this in Minden?
Well, out from Minden, in the country.
Oh.
Yeah, see? They had a school, had a church called St. James.
Oh.
It was a great big church, it's a Baptist church. And May, LaVon Smiley, he was the bassist. We belonged to the Methodist church, it was bass and tenor in a Baptist choir. You know? And I used to sing in school closings and things like that, you know, when I was 7, 8 years old, singing solos, you know.
What did it feel like after you, you know, made hit records when you started singing places?
Nothing. It's just that I'd never felt good enough.
Yeah.
You know, I've always found mistakes. I love people. You know what I mean? And that's the greatest thing I found out about it. Oh, naturally, I like to make money. But it let me travel. And I could see people, new faces, new places. That was the biggest thrill that I got out of it. It was going all the time, see? Plus the little bread, you know. But as far as the joy, I get a kick out of singing when my band is blowing exactly the right way and the house is appreciative.
Did you take your own band out?
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, that's all I ever traveled with until I started soloing, you know. When I gave it up, tried to quit the road to write only, then whatever.
When
was that? Well, when I left here in 57, the last of 57. So 57, 58, from on then, I've been doing solo work, see. Like if I go to Chicago, I'd rather go in there for 5 weeks at one club.
Hmm.
And whatever band they furnish is what I have to play with, you know.
Oh.
If I go on the road, I have to go on the road with a big show.
Yeah.
And use that band. But me, myself, I was using my own band, my own transportation. I had a 33 passenger bus driver.
This was from like 51 to 57?
No, this was like 51 to 55.
55.
Right. See? And then I went on a big show.
Okay.
And then right after
here.
That.
Here's a cat that wants to say hello to you. I'll say goodbye to you now, boss. I'll talk to you later.
Okay. Hello. This is Mark Blackmore. Hello, my brother. Where's Lizzie? Hey. How you doing?
Mark's again.
He's something else.
Yeah, he's just a good hustler. He got more nerve than Jesse James, man.
You got more nerve than Jesse James?
Jesse James,
yeah. Yeah, so, I just wanted to ask you a couple more things about like your story. What was the year you had your accident?
That was in August of 52.
52?
Mm-hmm. Right at the top of my career, man.
Yeah,
right at the top.
Yeah, you just.
I was running number one from 50 to 52, wasn't it, Pat?
Oh, yeah. Well, you were voted the artist of the year or something.
That's right.
So, you started touring again, though, after that?
After the accident? Mm-hmm. Yes, in 53. Mm-hmm. I started at 63. Well, that was, 53. Huh. I started back touring the country with a different personality, however. I have to admit, I had an inferiority complex that was heavy, but I didn't quit.
Mm-hmm. He felt, Percy, really, well, you can see his picture. All good-looking cats think that that's the only thing chicks dig at. He didn't realize that what they really dug was something he had in there.
Uh-huh.
See,
you're right.
He's a young kid. He's matured like everyone hopefully does.
You know what, Patrick? And I never did do no drinking in the mouth or nothing. See, I might have to take a swig when the band beat made me nervous on my gig or when I get ready to record. But after I had the accident, then I started drinking. Because I have to have...
You used to juice a little bit. I gave you a taste at the sessions.
That's what
nervous.
I said. But at the session, or like when I get ready to go on the bandstand, if I was nervous, I'd have to settle down. But it wouldn't be enough to call me a drinker. I don't use the word drunker. I didn't think enough of it to buy it hardly.
Percy's always had control of himself, no matter what the hell he's put into himself. So he's always been a man.
Thank you. Thank you.
Have you been singing anywhere live in the last, say, 5 years or so?
Oh yeah, I haven't stopped. I go out in
business.
Yeah. Back east, I went to Chicago to play for 1 weekend. And it was, they helped me at the same place for 5 weeks. And I packed a man's house 3-4 nights a week, every night.
What club was that, Percy?
That was the Golden Peacock on West 12th Street and West Madison.
Oh, that's right downtown.
Yeah, that's very good.
That's great.
And then I played at the top disc jockey, E. Rider Jones. He got a place called Rodney's Pad on Stone Island on 67th Street in Jackson Park Hotel. I played there for 5 weeks. You know, that's where I do locations.
You know, Percy, I don't want to, tell you I do your business, but as a friend, why in the hell don't you get yourself a manager and book you? The way you were playing here and singing, you don't even need a band or anything. Just doing gigs, blowing yourself.
But if I get another key,
you're self-conscious.
Well, there's another some of the keys I can't play in. See, I got
on your own key. You can sing everything in A, can't you? Mm-hmm. Oh, you can't.
I can create everything in A. Sometimes it'd be so low, like the 7 ounce of, let me tell you a secret. Crybaby, where's that at? Crybaby.
Yeah.
Now, see now. I'd have to say, let me tell you a secret. Oh, yeah. Let me tell you a secret. Yes,
he can only do things in A, is what he's saying.
Yeah, all I'm creating.
If he could transpose
like that too.
C, he was a C man.
Who?
Irving Berlin.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, he can do everything in C.
See? Now I can play a little thing in E flat.
Can you play a guitar?
No, I own three and four piano. And I can't get out of it. And all my kids can play it. See, my son made it.
Yeah, but why don't you take a few lessons?
I don't know. I mean, but see, if you want to teach me notes, and I don't
want
to.
You want to learn by head.
That's right. If I learn,
can't you learn other keys by head? How'd you learn A?
Yeah, that's
was
right.
Was it an accident?
No, it was on paper.
A flat.
The time I went to the piano, that was the key I hit when I was a boy.
That's where you started.
That's what every one of my songs is that.
You know what? I could only play the black keys.
Hey, I don't know you as a musician.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's only on black keys.
Well, see, now, I could do E flat. Pretty fair. But see, now, D natural, I got some tunes here called for B. Now, I do bachelor blues and C. And I do where is it at? I do my blues in D natural.
In other words, Percy,
I do what a fool I was.
If you could accompany yourself, you could do that.
Yeah.
You could get a lot of gigs. They could Percy Mayfield, the blues something or blues ballad.
Say, what's your name of that one?
Please send me someone to love. What should we call it?
Percy Mayfield sings Percy Mayfield. Or either, Percy, please send me someone to love. Mayfield sings Percy Mayfield. So please send me someone to love.
No, I dig. Percy Mayfield sings Percy Mayfield. Better.
We have cut out that one, but
which one? One Room Country Shack. That wasn't your song. One Room Country Shack. That doesn't matter.
Any other one on that, and it's my style.
We could take that one out and put someone else
in. Yeah, just find another good boss blues, like the voice of theirs again.
What do you think about that? Rather than please send me someone. We've always just assumed that would be the best title. But you think there's merit in calling it Percy Mayfield? Saying sure. Percy Mayfield?
Are there any other? Did you write all the other songs that we marked down?
All but two. Please Believe Me and One Room Country Shack.
Please Believe Me, One Room Country Shack, and Lonesome Highway. You know, Jessie Mae Robinson wrote
Lonesome Highway. She write that?
Yeah, she wrote Lonesome Highway. And I tell you another one, The Lonely One, I didn't write that.
Who wrote those, Percy? It would say on the album. I mean, on
Let's see.
Well, who wrote, just skip those.
Who wrote The Lonely One? Oh, that's right. It wasn't you.
What number was it?
460.
The Lonely One.
L. Bertrand.
Don't you remember?
L. Bertrand.
Right after my accident.
Yeah. Penny
1, 2, 1, done. Five, I'm saying?
Yeah.
Penny 1. It would be nice to what to be going on now. If anyone should ask why I'm alone.
All right, well, Percy, I'll tell you what. We ought to pick out 16 sides, and if we call it Percy Mayfield Sings Percy Mayfield, we'll have only your compositions.
Boom.
If we have Please Send Me Someone to Love or some other title, then we'll put in One Room Country Shack, The Lonely One, and Please Believe Me. I don't think they were your three toughest numbers anyhow.
No,
put One Room Country Shack on one of the blues albums.
Yeah.
We already have
along one. With.
Yeah.
But One Room Country Shack was a killer.
Send everyone does, man.
I think we could explain that on the notes. In addition to 15 of his own tunes, he gives the special Percy Mayfield treatment to.
Yeah.
And makes it his own.
To show the versatility of an artist, that he just doesn't only sing his own.
I need love so bad. Take the place of a lot of things you're talking about. Like, Dig the Moon goes out, but it's set. But all them others, every one now and then, that's some heavy stuff there.
Yeah, but Barry, is this clear to you what Percy's done now?
Yeah.
This side means this is what you think is the heaviest, right?
Right. Yeah.
And these are second heaviest
this
side.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. How many you got? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. 12, 13. No, you only got 12.
Don't count.
Without counting that.
Yeah.
See, we want to put 14.
5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11.
12.
No, this ain't.
Well, we could take those 12 and then 2 out of these 4.
Oh, yeah. Well, you going to put 14 on there?
Yeah. Make it a good album.
Yeah, but.
She has given people their money.
2 out of those 6.
Yeah.
See, and these are old records, Percy. You got to give people something for their bread, you know.
Well, at that rate, at that rate, don't forget the Lonely One.
Okay.
If anyone should ask, if anyone should wonder why I'm saying blue, that was a monster music. If anyone should ask why I'm alone. Just tell him about the love that broke my heart in two. I'm the lonely one. It was a monster. And old Maxwell Davis sitting right there raining like a champ. He's one of the best blues arrangers in the country.
He's still making arrangements.
Yeah, he's my man. He wanted some material, but they wouldn't want to give up no advance. And I know how my royalties would be with him. I just drove away. That's what I was out here for that time. And my car got stuck. That's up by your place.
Percy, well, what are you doing with your material now? I mean, if you make a deal with anyone,
No, I have.
If you can keep the publishing rights, I hold them, and I'll make a deal with you.
Yeah. Well, see now, I finished my album, right? That thing with Brownsville. Okay. Now I wrote Nina Simone 5, and I'm publishing.
Wait a minute. You made an album for Brunswick?
I produced the album, leased it for Brunswick.
Oh, you leasing them? Good.
Yes, that's my job. I mean my tightrope album. Mm-hmm. Okay, me and Rodney Jones out of Chicago. This guy.
Yeah,
we produced it, and we leased it to Brunswick. Okay, I'm free because Brunswick don't release the album. He released the 45 foot, and I was at the whole tight till after five other releases. See? But the cat all the way to release the album. They ain't pushing it, you know.
Now, did Nina Simone
she's going to record this one on the 1st of June.
Yeah, now what are you doing with those songs?
Well, now she's publishing all this, and if it's five she got, I'm publishing two. If it's four she got, I'm publishing one. You know what I mean?
You made that agreement,
right. See, now, because I want to give her a bit of that, because I know I got her some ball stuff.
Did she sell Nina Simone?
Yeah, especially overseas.
Yeah, she's good. Now this girl here, Nancy Wilson, she flips over my material. Now Jackie, this boy up the street said, Lou Rawls.
Yeah, what were you doing up at Lou's place?
Well, I said, now Lou went to an enterprise, in promotion, production promotions. And he wanted me to listen to talent, you know what I mean?
He wants you to work for him.
In a way of speaking, see. But I'm in a hurry, you know, and I can't wait till you find out whether you're actually here or not. You either believe that I'm qualified and hire me, you know, thing.
Isn't he using HP anymore?
I don't know, but see, somehow or another, people seem to think that I'm the thing. You know what I mean? Maybe it's because they call me a musical prophet. You know? They're all across the country making that. You see, now, there's a lot of cats making that money. Sure, I prophesied. Sure, I can dictate this, that, and the other, but I'm doing that more than that's the
truth. Yeah, what's happening? Did you hear Oh Happy Day?
Yeah.
Well, why is that going?
Well, you got two things going on. The call it is just like that. It's a happy song, see? And it's cheerful enough with all this other music that's going on to make you say, whew. Mm-hmm. And it lasts for a second or two. That's that. You see, it's like a conversation. That's the way a song is supposed to be. I mean, it's supposed to tell you a story according to it. Like if we were talking on a deep subject.
I'm now hearing my echo.
Like, that's right. And we were talking on a deep subject. Like,
you know what I mean by that?
Primers of the wood.
Yeah, what do I mean by that?
Well, like he's saying a lot of the same things that you would express.
He's saying
what
he taught him.
To me. That's right. Years and years ago, and it never lived in me, and that's to be the truth. See, now, if we're talking about...
you don't mind me giving myself a point.
Like if we were talking about word problems.
One point.
Word troubles, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, you know, that would be a serious conversation, right? Okay, well, when I pen it, you understand what I mean? And I want the audience to hear it the same way that we talked